I must not write more now, but will say, only believe in me, and trust to the Father, and all things that may be needful will be added unto you, and you will not be forsaken or left to your troubles, alone. I will be with you tonight and will try to write you another message, after you have received the messages from the dark spirits, who will come to you for help. So with all my love and the blessings of an elder brother, I will say goodbye for the present. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your old professor. Yes, we are very happy, but she is more so than I. She has more love in her soul. She loves you very much and wants to write to you sometime and tell you what a wonderful medium you are and how much happiness you give to all of us. She is very beautiful and loving. She is not as beautiful and loving as your wife, and very few spirits are. Well, your mother is more beautiful still, but she is an exception. Oh, she is the most beautiful of all and so wise and good. Yes, I was and thought it a wonderful production. She wrote it herself. No masculine mind had anything to do with it, as your friend remarked. My, she knows more of the things pertaining to the higher spiritual life than any male spirit I know of except Jesus. He, of course, is beyond comparison. But beside him I don't know of any masculine spirit who is the equal of your grandmother in her knowledge of these spiritual things. We all recognize this and submit our judgments to hers, and besides she is so good and loving. Well, it is so late tonight, I will not write very much, but I am now prepared to write you my discourse on certain matters as I promised you some time ago. And when you say that you are ready I shall be glad to do so. Yes, that will be best, and you shall have it in minute detail as I have taken great pains to compose the best that I know how. Yes, that was written when I had not my present spiritual development, and the things then written are not of very much interest to me now. Yet there are some beautiful thoughts in the book. Well, I will try, O soul of mine, when I realize the wonderful capacity that you have for loving and telling of your love, I stand in mute adoration of your great Creator. You are the greatest creature of His wisdom and love, and when in all your fullness, you possess the wonderful love of the Father, divinity is yours. You possess the wonderful love of the Father, divinity is yours, and immortality is yours. So let my love be. I don't seem to be able to write more. Let me try some other time when you are in better condition. No, I will complete it the next time I write. You see, it is not in verse, but in prose, which I like better, for the meaning can be more plainly expressed. But I will write it the next time I come. Well, good night, my dear friend and brother, your own true friend, Joseph H. Sayards. I am here, a man who has lost his soul and can't find it. What would I not give to have it again, and so be able to receive the love that you write about? But I lost it and no one can help me find it. I have tried and sought for it everywhere, but it has left me, and I am a spirit without a soul. Only my poor inefficient mind remains with me, and such happiness as I can conjure up by thinking of what might have been or what might be, if I had a soul. Tell me, can you help me find it? If so, please do so, and I will bless you forever. I am in a condition of not knowing whether I am living, or only dreaming, or dead. As I seem to be alive, I wonder who and what I am. As I dream, I see that I am a son of God, and as a dead man I know nothing. But I don't know what I am, and no one will tell me. You are to me a very real man with a soul, as I can see, but I have no soul. Tell me where to find it, for I must have it. I lost it in trying to find that my intellect was the only thing in the entire spirit world that is real, and when I thought that I had found that to be true, my soul had left me, and I can't find it. Oh, tell me where it is, and I will never lose it again. You must know something about it, for the other spirits say that you help to save souls, and if 95, the Paget messages 1915, you can do that, you surely can find a lost one. Why don't you tell me where to find it, and not keep me in this condition of not knowing whether I am living or dead? Come, be kind to me, and find my soul. It will not run away from you, as you will treat it kindly, I know. Your soul will know, if you will only ask it, and when it tells you, you can find mine. I am neither spirit nor mortal nor anything created by God until I get my soul again. My mind is nothing but an abstract nothing without my soul, and I have no love or happiness. Oh, if I had only cared for my soul instead of for my mind, how different I would be now, and I would not be a wanderer looking for his lost soul. I was a man of great intellect when on earth, and lived in the city of New York, and passed over in 1864, a much honored man. I was a lawyer, and well known to my immediate community, and I died a mere man without a soul. So, you see, I am so lonely without my soul and love. I was not a very bad man, and did not barter my soul for filthy lucre, but I thought that the soul was a myth, and the mind was everything, and when I passed over and found that I needed a soul, I could not find mine, and have never had it since. Tell me, I pray, where it is, and I will thank you through all eternity. Won't you tell me? Yes, I will do anything that you say that will help me get it. I know that I had a soul because, before I had given my years of hard study to make my intellect the great thing that it became, I loved, and felt sympathy for the unfortunate and poor, and especially loved children. And I know that if I had not had a soul I would not have had these feelings and emotions. But after I became a man of great mind, I may say with only a mind, none of these feelings ever came to me, only the knowledge that I had a powerful intellect. My soul died and never has come to me since. Yes, only tell me quickly that I may commence the search. Yes, I see many beautiful spirits who look very happy. Yes, she says that she is your grandmother, and how beautiful she is. Yes, I will go with her, and do as you say, and try to believe what she may tell me. Yes, I certainly will, and oh, your grandmother calls me, and I must go. So, good night, Charles G. Grosvenor. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, you have heard a great many messages, but none like the last 96, one. I have not before come in contact with a man who has lost his soul, and don't know just what it means. I am so glad that you sent him to your grandmother, for she, I believe, knows what he means. Well, I will not write more tonight, as it is late, and you are tired. So, with all my love, I am your own true, Helen. April 2, 1915. I am here, White Eagle. I have told them and they are now learning and seem disappointed but will go willingly. I told them what you said about asking your band but they say they want to talk to you first and I don't believe they will be satisfied unless they do so. Only your wife and White Eagle. Yes, I was there and wanted to talk but the Indian squaw would not let me and I gave her a piece of my mind and she only laughed and said that you would understand. She is a beautiful girl though. I was there and sat at your feet all evening and enjoyed the meeting. Your wife came and talked and she certainly did love you. She could scarcely talk because she felt so full of love. Well, I will write you soon and tell you some things that you should know. So with my love, we'll say, good night, White Eagle. I am here, Helen. Well, sweetheart, you have had a long night of writing and I must not write much. I am happy and love you and know that you love me. So try to forget your cases and think more of me and my love. You had better go to bed soon and rest. With all my love and best wishes. I am your true and loving, Helen. April 3, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I know that what you say is true. But it is I, Jesus, the man who was crucified on Calvary, that comes to you and writes. These persons, who will not believe this fact, will someday become convinced. Especially your friend. I am with you, as I have told you, because I have work for you to do, and also because I love you very dearly. So you must not doubt me in any way, and if you do not, you will soon see from my, the Paget Messages 1915, messages, and also from your own spiritual development, that I am the Jesus that I represent myself to be. So believe in me and you will be happier and prosper in every way. I want soon to commence my messages again. Yes, you will soon be in condition, and then we will continue our work. Well, he was so overshadowed by the results of his confining all his thoughts, when on earth, to his mental development, that his soul was permitted and compelled to starve, and as he now believes, to leave him. Of course, he has his soul, and only needs an awakening of his spiritual perceptions to realize the fact. But as long as he remains in the mental condition that he is now in, he will never find his soul, as he says. The only thing that will get him out of that condition of mind is an opening of his spiritual nature, and then a belief in the love of the Father. Your grandmother is now endeavoring to bring about his awakening, and she will succeed, for she is a very wise as well as highly developed spirit in her soul qualities. The spirit is not what you might call a wicked one. He only committed the great error of believing that the mind was everything in existence, and as he said, the soul and all spiritual faculties were myths. Many a spirit is in this condition of mind, overshadowing the soul to such a degree as to cause the soul, so far as the knowledge or belief of the spirit is concerned, to be lost. He is not one that will find much difficulty in recovering his soul, as soon as the soul faculties are awakened. The unfortunate spirit is one who knows that he has a soul, and knows that that soul is filled with sin and error, and has no apparent way of becoming cleansed. I know of no spirit more to be pitied, or who needs more of the influence and help of both spirits and mortals. Let me tell you right here that when you help a spirit to find the way to salvation and God's love, you are doing the greatest work that God has given any of his creatures to do, and when that spirit, through your help, finds that way and realizes the truth and receives this love, he is forever your most thankful friend and worker in forwarding the interests of your own spiritual being. So when the Bible says, "For every soul saved there is a new star added to the crown of one who is the instrument in saving such a soul," it only declares a truth which exists and which never changes. So in your work of helping these poor sinful and darkened spirits, you are laying up spiritual jewels, which, when you come over into the spirit world, will form a part of your soul's existence. 97. Of course, there are no jewels, as such, but they represent great qualities of happiness and love, which the Father will give you. Men do not realize of what momentous importance the saving of a soul is, and what results come to him as such a savior. I am not going to write more on this subject now, as in my other messages I will deal with it. So, I will now say good night, and may the love of the Father be with you and in you this night. I will give you all my love, and help you to obtain your desires, spiritual and material. Your true brother, Jesus. I am here, Helen. Well, did not the Master explain what the lost soul means in a way that makes it very plain? I am so glad that you asked him and received the answer that you did. He is the only Jesus of the Bible, and you are right when you say you believe that he is. Let not what men say cause you to doubt this fact, for it is a fact. He is the greatest son of his Father, and when you have him for a friend, you are rich indeed. So my dear Ned, continue to believe in him, and listen to his teachings, and follow them. Well, I love you, as you know, with all my heart and soul, and with a love that increases as the Father's love fills my heart more abundantly, and when I am so filled with more of this love, I will tell you, and you will know that my love for you has increased correspondingly. So my darling Ned, I must say, good night, your Helen. April 4, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I was with you today and I heard you declare your belief in me and my being the Jesus of the Bible. And while it did not have much impression on the hearers, yet it will cause them to think, and possibly lead them to a realization that I am the true Jesus and that my teachings which you will receive are the teachings of truth. I was much pleased that you declared yourself so emphatically and earnestly, and that your faith in me is so fixed and certain. You have advanced yourself in the way of your spiritual development by such positive assertion of your belief. And you will find that your faith will increase and you will progress in your development very rapidly. I will now be able to communicate with you more satisfactorily than before, for the mere fact of the Paget messages 1915, declaring your belief in such a way, and the knowledge that those to whom you spoke who do not believe that I am other than God, and a part of God, will help you beyond what you may conceive. You are now much more in rapport with me than ever, and you will soon realize that you are very near the kingdom of the Father. The discourse on forgiveness made a deep impression on the Father, and he will commence to think that his belief in the church dogmas and creeds does not satisfy the longings of his soul, as they have heretofore. Be my true disciple under all circumstances, and your reward will be great, both here and hereafter. I will come to you soon and finish my last discourse, and when completed, You will see that the truths which I shall declare are truths that will show man that the love of the Father is the one all-sufficient means to his kingdom and favor. Be true to me and to yourself, and you will be one of the overcomers who will inherit the eternal kingdom of the holy home of redeemed spirits. You will not only feel the great benefit yourself of this great truth of the new birth, but you will lead many others to embrace the truth and receive the benefits of the Father which He has prepared for all who may love Him and receive His love. So my dear brother and disciple, let your efforts continue to learn these truths, and teach others the way of my truths and their own redemption. I will be with you very often, for on you I depend to receive and spread my gospel of truth, and when you have done this, mankind will turn from their condition of formal religion and embrace the true and only way to their salvation. A new church will arise, and the love of the Father waiting to be bestowed on all men will be the foundation stone of its establishment. I know that you will have disappointments and trials in doing this work, but only be faithful and steadfast, and the great object of my teachings will be accomplished on earth, as in heaven. I must not write more now. But I want to assure you that your action today is of more significance than you realize, and you will soon see the importance of what you declared in the presence of those who doubt the truth of your declarations. So with my love and assurance of tender care, and the blessings of the Father, I am your own loving and true brother, Jesus. April 5, 1915. I am here, Helen. I am very glad that you helped so many spirits tonight, and some of them were very much in need of help. The poor spirit that you sent to me was truly penitent and cried such bitter tears of grief and sorrow. I know that you will soon be forgiven and receive the light. She is now praying to the Father and her whole soul seems to be in her prayers. Oh, I thank God that you can help them as you do. It is to me, so surprising that I wonder what you have about you that God should give you such power to help. Well, sweetheart, you are tired, and I must stop. So believe that I love you and am with you. Your own true and loving, Helen. I am here, your grandmother. Well, I am glad to be with you again as I want to tell you of some truths that you will be benefited by knowing. You have had more or less doubt pass through your mind as to whether we are really the persons whom we represent ourselves to be, and whether, if your own mind does not produce the thoughts and write, or whether some evil spirit or impostor does. I want to tell you now with all the love which I had for you, that every one of us who write you is the person he represents himself to be, and no spirit who may seek to impose on you is permitted to write or in any way communicate with you. Our band is sufficiently powerful to prevent any such spirit from intruding himself upon you. Of course, the unfortunate spirits who write you, we permit to do so, but they are not impostors, but tell you truthfully just who they are. I know how natural it is for you to doubt this great marvel of spirit communion, and of the truthfulness of our representations, but I assure you that it is all true. The Master is the one of whom you read in the Bible, and of whom you have heard all your life, the only difference being that he is not God or part of him, but a spirit the greatest in the entire spiritual kingdom. He is not so very different in his desire to do the great work which the Father gave him to do, from what he was on earth, except that he is now more highly developed than when a man traveling the plains and mountains of Palestine. He is more powerful and knows so many more truths of the Father, but his love is just the same, only greater in degree. So you must not doubt any longer or you will not develop as you should. He is the wisest and 98, the Paget Messages 1915, most filled with the Father's love of all the spirits in the celestial spheres. I know that you love us all, and I believe that you love him also, and when I tell you that his love is greater than that of any of us, I'm merely telling you what is true. I would like to write more tonight, but there are some others here who are very anxious to write you, and I will stop. Your own true and loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. I am here, Mary Kennedy. You have had some spirits tonight who are no doubt thankful that they could write to you, but they do not know what it is to love you and enjoy your company as do some others, of whom I am one, and strange as it may seem, that while you knew them on earth and you did not know me, and yet I am closer to you and that dear boy who is waiting for a word from me, than any of these other spirits are, or can be. Helen thought it wise to let these spirits write tonight as they were so anxious, and wanted so very much to let you know that they had not forgotten you. I do not refer to that fraudulent spirit who came and thought that he was telling you something that would give you a great surprise, but let me tell you that he was caught as the law sometimes catches the fraudulent ones of earth, but he was not caught by the law, but by love, for if you could have heard how Helen told him of the great love of the Father and how much he needed it, and how it was waiting for him, and how happy it would make him, you would not regret that he came to you and wrote. Well, he is one of so very many who know nothing of this love, and who need it so much. He is now thinking, and I hope that he may be benefited. Well, I will say a few words to Leslie, for I feel rather serious tonight, and want to tell him that he must not let his faith lessen, or any doubt come to him of the truth of this great love, or of the fact that I am his own true soulmate, and love him with all the love of a soul that has much of the Father's love. We are here in great numbers tonight, trying to impress you both with our love, and praying to the Father to bestow it upon you, I mean his love, in great abundance. Sometimes, as you know, I am quite jolly, and as some of the sedate spirits may say, frivolous, but tonight I do not feel that way, for the love is with me in such degree, that I feel I must get closer to my dear in all its seriousness. He is so very dear to 99, me, and I am so anxious that he get into a condition of soul exaltation that I do not feel that even my soulmate love should intervene. Let the Father's love, alone, be his tonight. I am with him, as he knows, and am happy when I can come to him. So tell him to pray more and believe, and he will find a wonderful happiness come to him. I will not write more now, as Helen says that you are tired. So with my love to him, and best wishes to you, I am, Mary Kennedy, Helen Paget, April 6, 1915. I am here, Jesus. Well, I am here to tell you of my great gratification in hearing you declare your belief in me again as you did today. This may seem to be a small matter to you, but I tell you it is one of greatest moment, not only to my cause but to you personally, because it puts you in close rapport with me, and helps you get into a condition which enables you to respond with a greater facility to my efforts to convey to you my messages. And also it has a reflex influence on your spiritual condition, and tends to increase your faith in what I tell you of the Father's love and his great mercy and plan for man's redemption. I am pleased with your declaration and will help you to become more at one with me in my work. So let not doubt come into your mind as to my being who and what I represent myself to be, for if there is a truth in all the universe, that assertion of mine is a truth. Let your faith increase, and your life will be happier, and you will become better fitted to inhabit the sphere which I have determined you shall have for your home. Oh, my dear brother, it is a great consolation to know that you will do my work as I desire it to be done on earth, and to feel that I can rely upon you to receive my gospel of truth and light to mankind. 9. Yes, you were correct, and I will soon write on this subject at length, and you will see that, before me, no man or spirit ever declared the truth of immortality. You have a right conception of what I meant, and you will sometime realize that that immortality is for you. You and all who believe as 9. Although a number of different titles were used by Dr. Stone, including Messages from Jesus and Celestials, Book of Truths, and True Gospel Revealed Anew by Jesus, and even True Gospel Revealed Again from Jesus, this is not a title that was ever used. The Paget Messages 1915, you do and seek for the divine essence, which alone can bring immortality to man. Very soon now I will continue my last message and then we will progress faster in our work. Well, I will not detain you longer tonight, as there are several present who desire to write. Well, that is now a part of your work, and your band knows that you must do that work. It will not injure your rapport with your band, or cause your power of writing to diminish. So with all my love and the blessings of the Father, I am your own true brother, Jesus. I am here, your old partner, A. G. Riddle. Well, I want to tell you of that man with the wonderful mind, who surpasses every other spirit in his knowledge of the laws of the spirit world. I had a conversation with him and I found that he knew comparatively little of anything. His knowledge consisted in not knowing what there is for him to know. He had certain ideas about the spirit world, but they were few and superficial. He was so convinced that he had learned everything there is to know that he was not capable of learning more. I soon found that his capacity for learning was limited by his horizon of what he didn't know, that is. He thought that as he knew everything, there was nothing in all God's universe that was left to him to learn. His was the greatest case of a man who was possessed of all knowledge that I have ever met. Just as soon as we commenced to converse, I saw that the only way to deal with him was to let him think that his is the great mind that he believed it to be, and so I posed as one who was inferior to him in intellect, and one willing to sit at the feet of Gamaliel to learn. He commenced to tell me about his wonderful mind and the great knowledge which it possessed, and how he was quite lonely in the spirit world, because he could find no one who was competent to discuss subjects which only minds of his greatness could grasp and understand. As a seeker after some of his great knowledge, I commenced in a very modest way to ask him certain questions for information as he thought, and to his surprise, but not to mine, I will confess he said that he had never considered them, and that because they did not appear to be of sufficient importance for his gigantic intellect to bother with. Well, I kept putting question after question, and his only answer was that he had not considered them 100, for the reason above stated. At last he commenced to see that I had an object in approaching him in this way, and that I was not as unsophisticated as I first appeared. Finally he said that maybe there were some things which he didn't know, and which were worthy of his investigation, and that he would give his mind to their consideration. Then I commenced to tell him of spiritual things and of the great love of the Father, and what a power it had to beautify and make happy the souls of spirits. At first he declared that there was no such thing as the soul, and reiterated that the mind is the only thing that belongs and determines the character and qualities of a spirit, that God is only the creature of man's mind, and that love is a thing of the imagination only. Well, you may imagine what a task it was to convince him that he had a soul, and that the soul is the real thing in his existence, and that mind is merely a subordinate part of the soul. He didn't seem to grasp the proposition. But after a while I showed him the beauty and happiness of several of our band, and asked him if the mind is the greatest thing, and as he knew that none of these spirits has a mind equal to his own, why is it that they are so much more beautiful and happy than he? He hesitated a moment and said, that his mind did not run in the direction of creating beauty or happiness, but if he had devoted it to those things he would be more beautiful and happier than any of these spirits. I confess this argument was difficult to meet from his standpoint, but I called into concentration my argumentative faculties, and knowing he was wrong, I asked him why he had not devoted his mind to these subjects, as he must surely know that beauty and happiness are more desirable than anything to which he could possibly direct his mental strivings. He said that he knew that these qualities or possessions are very desirable, but he doubted if there could be any happiness equal to that of great mental development and its resultant delights. I asked him why he was willing to remain in his condition of darkness and surrounded by such unhappy beings if the mind could bring such delights, and why he had not left the plane of darkness a long time ago, and sought the companionship of brighter and more intellectual spirits. He said that was one of the few things that he did not understand. He was anxious to get into different associations and wanted more congenial companionship, but yet no matter how much he, the Paget Messages 1915, exercised his mental powers, he did not seem to be able to change his condition or leave the plane on which he lived. I then said to him, suppose there is a power so great that it can take you out of that condition and place you among these congenial spirits, where you say you have desired to go, what would your great mind say of you if you refuse to learn what this great power is, and rest content to remain in ignorance of this great power and ignore its existence? He said, that he supposed his mind would say that he is a fool, and does not do its greatness the justice to which it was entitled, and that such a position on his part would show him that he was not making the best use of his mind to which it is entitled. Well, after letting him think a while on this phase of the matter, I said to him, my friend, what I have put to you as a supposition is a truth. There is a power which is able to elevate you above your present condition, and one which your mind will tell you to seek for, if you will only let it do so. And that power is one of spiritual qualities not depending on the mere mind, but upon a source which is the mind of all minds, and of which your great mind is only a shadow, and merely reflects its possibilities. He said, "Well, since you seem to know of this great power, suppose you describe it to me, and if you can show my mind that such a power can have any possible existence, I will try and learn what that power really is."